here. Thank you for worshiping with us today. If you're a guest in person or online, we'd love to connect with you. There's a card in the pew back in front of you, or you can go to our website, sbcr.org, and there's a button that says I'm new. You can fill that information out, and it's a way for us to know who's worshiping with us today. And thank God for you, and thank God for the opportunity to gather together today. We want to make you aware of a few things that are happening and coming up in our church and on our calendar, and so just make you aware of those things. Today's the last women's Bible study, at least for this session, and so I'm sure there's still room at the table if you'd love to come in and get in on the last one, at least for this round, and so talk to Ms. Brenda about that, or be here at 3 o'clock, and I'm sure they'd love to have you. This Wednesday we will have our Bible study with the pastor. That is this Wednesday morning, so please come be a part of that. Anybody's welcome to that. And just a few different things that are happening. Obviously, we're gearing up, and in 2 weeks we're going to have, it's 3:16 on 3:16, so I'll be preaching message from John 3:16, and that'll be Sunday, March 16th. And so we have our Invite Your 16 Challenge. I hope that you have gotten invite cards and passing those out as you're going and maybe eating at a restaurant or doing shopping, whatever the case may be, or people coming by your house that are working on something or whatever the case may be. Just use those invite cards, invite people to come, be a part of our services that day. And just a great way to invite our community to be a part of our church. And also want to make you aware that this Tuesday I'm hosting a fellowship for pastors. And so that will take place this Tuesday. And there's still opportunity to invest and be a part of that. Thank you so much. Many of you through the years of us doing this have invested, been a part of that. If you'd like to help with the lunch or provide a gift, and again, I've just, as always, have said, they're just guys, they like guy stuff. So whatever that means to you, if you want to be a part, if nothing else, if you will, please pray for them, pray for our time together. We have a time of a meal and sit around fellowship, and then we just sit around and honestly we talk about what they want to talk about. And sometimes it has to do with life and our church and ministry, and sometimes it's just life and raising kids or whatever the case may be. But anyway, it's an opportunity to invest in these men as they lead their churches and invest in those churches in our community. So anyway, if you'd like to be a part of that, pray for them, and then you can talk to me, and I can give you more information or answer any questions that you might have. You want to help support and be a part of that. Hey, real quickly, we're going to pause. We have a video. We March is our focus for Annie Armstrong offering, and so we're going to play this video, and then after that, our time and focus of prayer will be for Annie Armstrong. So with that, we'll play this video.
These might be some of the greatest stories ever told, which is why we might just have the best job in North America. We get to tell stories about missionaries in the U.S. and Canada, stories that are so powerful and so amazing, we feel humbled to even be here doing this. Like, did you hear the story about the Marine sniper who's planting a church? Or the one about the missionaries who started a laundromat just so they could meet a need and tell their neighbors about Jesus? Or how about the church planter in Wyoming who's discipling new believers, then sending them out as circuit riders to tiny unreached towns all over the state? People call these missionary stories, and that makes sense. I mean, the missionaries are the ones serving on the field, and they're the ones on camera. But there's another main character in each of these stories you really can't see, not unless you look in a mirror. You might not realize it, but your faithful prayers and your generosity to the Annie Armstrong Easter offering, that's where the fuel and the encouragement for these missionaries comes from. I mean, God is taking your prayers and gifts and planting this missionary family in a neighborhood where they can go into all the world without ever leaving their house. He's sending this missionary into what might be the most unreached community in all of North America. He even showed this couple how to turn a border town into a missions training center. Your support makes you a main character in every one of these stories. Stories of how God is building His kingdom. He's using thousands of missionaries, some you'll hear about, most you'll never even know. And He's using you. Together, we're sharing the gospel, the greatest story ever told, with people who need to hear. Together, we're stepping into the story.
Andy Armstrong is an offering that supports church planting and advancement of the gospel around the United States and in North America. And so every year we have a few different these type offerings. This is Andy Armstrong. We'll focus on it during the month of March. We have Dixie Jackson in the fall, and then Lottie Moon. Dixie Jackson focuses on the state of Arkansas. Lottie Moon is international. And so this is an opportunity for us, and this is this in part is the beauty of our denomination, of the Southern Baptist Convention, of collectively working together to advance the gospel. And so with that, there's a few ways that that we can be involved together as a church. One of those ways is that today begins an 8-day focus of prayer, and there is a prayer guide out in front in the foyer there, and it just has each day for those 8 days, it has a prayer focus, an emphasis. In just a minute, I'm going to outline for you day one, and that's what we're going to pray for today. But then on our social media, we've posted those, so each morning, those will post each one of those days. So if you forget a guide or it's easier for you to keep up that way, you can use social media to track along with us this week to pray. So everybody can pray. And that's the most important part. That's not just a token way to be a part. That's most pivotal. I'd rather, before we gave thousands and thousands of dollars, if we'll collectively earnestly pray for these missionaries, that'll do exceptionally more than a few dollars can or whatever it is. But the second way to be a part, obviously, is an opportunity to give. And so there are offering envelopes around that are focused for Andy Armstrong. And so this is always my challenge to you as your pastor is. My challenge to you is to take that envelope, place it somewhere where you'll see it the next several days, every day. And as you're praying this week, as you're praying in the days ahead throughout the month, I would just ask you to do this. Would you pray about what God would have you to give? I believe that these times and these seasons, this is our over and above giving, right? So for our family, we want to be faithful to give what God has led us to give through our tithes and be faithful in that. And then over and above giving is, on top of that, what is it that God would have us to give to the Andy Armstrong offering? And so as a church, we've set a goal of $3,000, but my heart and conviction is this, is that if every family will pray about what God would have them to give, every individual would pray that, and you'll be obedient in that, then collectively as a church, Second Baptist will give what God wants us to give, and he'll use it and advance it for the kingdom and for the gospel. And so let me just share with you about day one of the prayer emphasis, the real Jesus in Provo, Utah. The brief story is this, that one of the first things David Gaskins tells people about Mosaic Church in Provo, Utah, when he and his wife Sarah serve as church planting missionaries. Every Sunday it brings me to tears, David says. The voices are just thunder in that room because so many of our people have lost everything for Jesus. According to David, Provo, home of BYU, is the heartbeat and hub of the worldwide Mormon church. Planting a church here is obviously a tall order, says David, but we love Mormons and we want them to believe in the real Jesus. That's why we came. 4 years after its launch, Mosaic is now a loud singing congregation made up of largely of young, one-time Mormons who are paying the price for the response to the gospel. When somebody here leaves the Mormon church, it really is a big deal, says David. They lose their job, they get shunned by their family. The church is all they have, and that's why they sing loudly. They found the real Jesus, and they're never going back. And so that's just one story of how your faithfulness in years past to support Andy Armstrong have helped put these missionaries. These are David and Sarah Gaskins are your missionaries. They really are. It's not just a quippy saying. That's not just a bumper sticker. Like, they really are your missionaries. Your faithfulness to give week in and week out through the cooperative program, but then you're sacrificing to give to Annie Armstrong through the years, it helps put these missionaries, helps train them, help equip them, help resource them so they get an opportunity to go and plant the gospel, to serve these folks in these areas that are hard to reach or unreached people groups around our nation. And so this morning I want to pray for, lead us in praying for Mosaic Church, David and Sarah Gaskins, so let's do that together. So I'm going to ask if you'll just bow your head and close your eyes and take just a moment. I'm going to give you some prayer emphasis, but just for a moment, focus on yourself. If there's some things, maybe it's just been a busy, hectic morning, help ask God to help you to focus on Him, help you to have clarity of mind this morning. So for the first point of prayer emphasis is this, is that would you pray for God to call more missionaries who will share the gospel with people in Utah? Pray that God will raise up laborers to go to Utah and to help faithfully share the gospel. Would you pray that God would give wisdom, humility, and boldness for David and other leaders at Mosaic Church? And then would you pray for David and Sarah to grow closer together while they live and serve in a difficult place? Pray for this man of God and his wife. God in heaven, we thank you for today. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be a part of what you're doing. And so, God, I pray that above all else, we would commit to faithfulness to pray for our missionaries around the country. They're serving you faithfully, that the enemy has locked his target on them. God, I pray that they would serve you in a way that brings honor to your name. We lift up Sarah and David to you. God, I pray that you would use them for the advancement of your kingdom. God, I pray that you would use them to push back darkness there in Utah. I pray for revival. I pray for spiritual awakening. God, a great move. God, I pray even today as they meet and gather together today that you, Spirit of God, would fall on this place. Fall and move among them. God, use them for your glory and your name's sake. I pray, God, this morning that the same would happen here. I pray that you would speak to us, minister to us, draw us closer to you. God, you be glorified in all that we say and do. Lord Jesus, thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Well, amen. It is good to see you. Would you stand and let's sing these songs as we prepare our heart for a day with the Lord. Come, let us sing.
Come, let us worship our King. Break every chain, oh God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, your name lives. done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you. Your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. You will do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, O God. You have done great. Dance in your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. Oh, God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above the all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable.
And greater will be our one.
life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Seated. Galatians 2:20 says that I am crucified with Christ, and it is not I that live, but Christ lives in me. And this life that I live in the flesh, I live with faith in Christ, who loved me and gave himself for me. We're singing about the greatness of God, and I'm just reminded this morning of how often I sing about the greatness of God and how he provides and how he is faithful. And yet I try to live this life in my own strength a lot of times without calling on him to work through me and to flow through me and to let the fruit of the Spirit well up in me. But this song is just a reminder of our life in Christ. Everything good that happens through us is because of the Spirit of God that lives inside of us. There's no good in me. And if there's anything that good that comes through me, then it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Just a reminder of Paul's message to the church in Galatia. I am crucified. I'm dead. And yet I live. But this life that I now live in the flesh, I live through faith. faith in Jesus, the one who loved me and gave himself for me. Let's sing this together.
What gift of grace is Jesus my Redeemer? There is no more for heaven now to be. He is my joy, my righteousness and freedom, my steadfast love, my deep and boundless peace. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. For my life is wholly bound to His. Oh, how strange and divine I can see all is mine, yet not I, but through Christ in me. The night is dark, but I am not forsaken, for by my side my Savior, He will stay. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need His power is displayed. To this I hold, my Shepherd will defend me. It has been paid, for Jesus bled and suffered for my pardon, and He was raised to overthrow the grave. To this I hold, my sin has been defeated. Jesus now are released and can sing, I am free, yet not I, but through Christ in me. With every breath I long to follow Jesus, for He has said that He will bring me home, and day by day I know He will renew me until I stand with joy before the throne. To this I hold, my hope is only Jesus. Oh, the glory evermore to Him. When the race is complete, still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
When the race is complete,
still my lips shall repeat, yet not I, but through Christ in me. Yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Amen. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you do, would you turn to John chapter 8? John chapter 8 and verse 12. Before we begin, I want to preach this message of light of the world, but light is a funny thing. Light brings a lot of different comforts at time, if you will, can signal you or different things. But as I was thinking about this message and just the different aspects of light, how many of you, we have so much, you know, obviously technology, all those things, so much advancement, LEDs and become cheap, and so many flashlights and light on your phone, all this sort of stuff. But how many of you ever remember having to hold the light for Dad? Anybody ever have to do that working on something? Now, how many of you have trauma from holding light for Dad? Yeah, right? Whew, man. I told you I had ADD pi squared, right? So, man, I'd be holding that light and I'd forget that I'm holding it for him and not for me because I'm checking things out, right? You know, and whew, the reminder would come quickly. And anyway, but yeah, light's an interesting thing. You know, one of the things in, yeah, whenever we were living just outside Memphis in Cordova, and after being there a couple years, one of the things that really began to bother me, was the city lights, so much light, because you couldn't, I remember walking out of our apartment one night and looking up, and you could barely make out the stars, and being a country boy from Ratcliffe, Arkansas, we didn't have a lot of city lights. I know that surprises you. We didn't have a lot of city lights in Ratcliffe, and anyway, and so just being able to see the light, you know, because light just does so many different things. If you've ever been fishing at night out in the middle of water, and just incredible to see the night sky because you tend to be so far away from any other light that floods that, right? And so this morning I want to preach to you this message, the light of the world. And so if you found your place, John chapter 8, verse 12, if you're willing and able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God. John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, we love and adore you. We thank you today for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that you give me grace to die to self, preach your word as thus saith the Lord. Fill me with your spirit. Give me every word to say. I pray that God, you would give us ears to hear, a heart to receive, a mind and a will to be obedient. Lord Jesus, we love you and praise you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We want to continue on in this passage. Jesus is, he's teaching the religious leaders. He's still at this festival of booths, this festival of tabernacles. He's still there teaching. And so he's teaching these leaders and people that have gathered around, so on and so forth. But he makes this statement. And one of the interesting things about the Gospel of John is that John records these I am statements. And if you remember, in the Old Testament, God raises up Moses to go back and he's raising him up. He's calling him to go and lead the Hebrews out of bondage, out of slavery in Exodus there. And you remember Moses was giving all these excuses as to why he wasn't the guy. He wasn't the one. All this sort of thing. And so after this encounter, this burning bush moment, literally, Moses asked, well, who should I tell the Hebrews have sent me? Because I can't just show up and say, hey, follow me. I've got to have some authority. And if you remember that God responds to him in that moment, says, tell them I am that I am has sent you. And so the Hebrews knew God as the great I am. And that name, that mantra followed and was consistent with the Hebrews and the Jews. And so now as we walk through the Gospel of John and John highlighting Jesus as the Messiah, as the Son of God, that theme focused on throughout the Gospel of John, he records these multiple I am statements, eight of them. And so this is one of those that Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the living water. And today we have, I am the light of the world. These great I am statements of Jesus that are recorded in the Gospel of John. And so we're going to walk through this. We're going to see some truth that we see just from this one verse, from this one statement. And so if you're taking notes following along this morning, the main idea of the text is this, is that Jesus saves and guides. Jesus both saves us and He continues to guide us. He doesn't just save us and leave us alone. He doesn't just save you and say, hey, best of luck to you, hope you get it figured out, so on and so forth. But rather, Jesus does save and He guides. So then the question of the text this morning is, are you following Jesus? Are you following Jesus? Has there been a moment in your life where you've surrendered your life to Jesus? But then not only that, if Jesus saves and He guides, if you've got the salvation part, then we need to be guided by Him on a daily basis. Because listen to me, church, God cares about the intricate details of your life. He cares about the mundane. He cares about who you are and what you're doing, how we're living to please Him. And so this morning, I want us to see from this one statement, this direction that God gives and through His Son Jesus. And so number one, Jesus is the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Notice the text, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So there it is, the first statement, I am the light of the world. Going, okay, we got that. That's clear, but I'll need you to see what Jesus is stating. Because I need to remind you again, I know I say this to you often, that the religious leaders and the Jews had this assumption that Jesus was going to come and be this mega political power and put the Jews in the right political statement or right political place of authority and supreme national, all this sort of thing, going to put them in that place as the Messiah. But that was not the focus of the Messiah. Yes, He was going to be a Jew, but He's not just a Savior for the Jews. He's the Savior of the world. And that's what Jesus is making this statement, that He is the light of not just the Jews, of not just the religious, not just the rich, not just the comfortable, but Jesus is the light of the world. And this is so vital. It's so important. Listen, we're celebrating. We're praying for this Annie Armstrong Easter offering. We're praying for this offering as we praying about what God would have us to give. Why? Because there are unreached, unengaged people groups in our own nation. There are people that don't know Jesus. There are people in our community that don't know Christ. There are people on campus that don't know Christ. There are people all around the world that don't know Jesus. And Jesus did not just come to die for me and for you. Jesus did not just come to die for the American or for the Chinese or for the whatever, fill it in. Jesus came to die for the world. And church, we need to be reminded of that. That Jesus is a global God. He cares about the world. That's why we're focusing in 2 weeks on John 3:16. For God so loved the world that Jesus is the light of the world. And dear friend, I just say to you this morning, church, I need to remind us that Jesus didn't just die to just save us so that we could sit on our tail. And B, the Adrian Rogers said, Jesus didn't save us to be the keepers of the aquarium, but rather the fishers of men. Why? Because, man, there's a whole host of people out there that have no idea that a God loved them so much that He sent His only Son to die for them. There's a whole host of people out there that have no clue that anybody loves them. There's mamas and daddies out there don't know if they're going to make it another day because nobody's loved them enough to tell them about Jesus. There's people around the world that there's never been a gospel witness in their community to share the gospel. I mean, we read this morning from in our prayer guide from the Annie Armstrong about David and Sarah Gaskins and being in Utah, where Brigham Young University is there, Mormonism is prevalent. And there are people that are believing the lie from the enemy that are going to die and spend eternity in hell. Friend, can I just challenge you this morning? Why has God left you here? Why? My challenge to you is this. He's left you here, breathing, living, so that you can help others come to know Christ. But then let me further press into that, especially I know we have some that just aren't able to go maybe. But I'm telling you, friend, you and I, we need to do all that we can every day, every resource we have to advance the gospel of Jesus. We need more missionaries. We need more pastors. We need more people giving their life for the sake of the gospel. And some people sit around and go, man, well, why not? Why not? Maybe God's calling you to Utah. Maybe God's calling you to across the pond. Maybe God's calling you to right here, right now. Now, I'll tell you this, that I don't believe that God calls you across the world unless you're faithful in your own backyard. We need to be faithful in our own backyard. But listen to me, church family. I just want to challenge you in this. Man, what if God has placed us here? And I know it's difficult at times, especially as we look across some of our students and at times we see ebbs and flows of ministry and all that sort of thing. What if God has placed us here that all that we are is a sending, a launching pad for others to go and give their life to Jesus? What if that we're never a mega church? We're never, man, thousands upon thousands, but what is it? What does Second Baptist need to do that we might help plant churches elsewhere, that we might help send students across the globe, that we might help raise up and train pastors and preachers and teachers? Man, what is it that God desires for us? Because Jesus said, I am the light of the world. A church is not a home base. It's a launching pad. It's a launching pad for the gospel. And so Jesus said, I am the light of the world. They recognize this in the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 17. It says, if therefore God gave them, talking about the non-Jews, the non-Hebrews, gave them, the Gentiles, the same gift as He gave us when we believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Who was I that I could withstand God? Notice this. When they heard these things, they became silent and they glorified God, saying, then God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance to life. It's this aha moment that they have, that the early apostles have gone, hey, it's not just for us, but rather it's for the Jew and the Gentile. It's for all people. And friend, you and I need to do all that we can to leverage what opportunities and what resources we have that others may come to know Him. And so number one, Jesus is the light of the world. Number two, Jesus is the light that leads. Jesus is the light that leads. Notice verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. He who follows me. See, dear friend, Jesus didn't come just to save you and then let you go and do off all that you want to do. He didn't just suddenly come to the world, save the lost, and then back himself out and go, okay, best of luck to you. But no, Jesus saved you. He imparted the Holy Spirit into your life. Why? So that He might lead you. Why? Because God has a better plan and a better purpose for your life than you have for yourself. Man, He's got a perfect plan and a perfect direction for your life. You and I just got to do all that we can to seek to follow Him, to seek to follow His leadership. That's part of Him being the light of the world, is that He's out in front and He's leading. And think about, obviously we're blessed in a lot of ways, but you know, now when electricity goes off, most of us are not far from our phone, so we're able to turn the light on, and then we can fumble our way or easily get through the house and get to the candles or whatever it is that we may need to create light in the house while the electricity's off. But 15, 20, 30 years ago, whenever that happened, you had to stub a toe or two to get to the flashlight or wherever it was. Usually somebody would, everybody'd stay in place, right? And then go and light some light in a room. We had a candle or a flashlight. And then what happened? Everybody came to that room, came to that area so they could see. Listen to me, dear friend, is that Jesus has come so that you can have salvation. He has turned on the light and then it leads us. First, it leads us to Himself, right? It draws us to Himself. The most important pursuit in your life about being in the middle of God's will is not what the next job opportunity is or next change or next address, but the most important leadership in your life is being led to Him. Spend time with Him. Get to know Him. Spend time with the Father through His Word and in prayer. Spend time sitting under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God that draws you to Him. We need more of Him, not less. I need more of Him, not less. But then, dear friend, there's this incredible effect happens that the closer you draw to the Lord Jesus, the clearer the path becomes about His plan and purpose for your life. And some of you, and maybe you're dealing with life's decisions. I know students oftentimes, they're constantly wrestling with this about what major they're in or what their next career path. But even after school, even after college and high school and all these sorts of things, we still figure, man, is there a job change that needs to happen? Is there retirement that's coming? Is there all these sorts of things? And let me just tell you, God's got a plan. Even for later stages in life, God has a plan. As you are grandparents and great-grandparents and still, walking through life, and God still has a plan. And by the way, He still wants to lead you with clarity and direction as He did 20, 30, and 40 years ago. He still wants to lead you as clearly. And so I just want to say to you this morning, as you pursue more of who God is, but then you're sensitive to the direction that He has for your life. As you pray about decisions, you pray for, things that have helped us, me and Adrian, as we pray through things in our life. God, if this is the will, if this is a plan, give me the sweetest peace I've ever known. And if it's not your will, if it's not your plan, put a burden or check in my heart. They're going, this isn't right. This isn't the way you need to go. And church, can I tell you this, that God has answered that prayer every single time? Every time. Now, does it always happen as fast as we want it? Every now and then, sure, do we want the burning bush moment? Absolutely. I think. I don't know. I've never had it. I may not, right? But I'm just telling you that God is not playing hide and seek, and He's not trying to make it difficult. He wants you, listen to me, He wants you to be more obedient to His will than you want to be obedient to His will. And so pursue Him. Pursue the will of God for your life. Is this the career change God wants me to make? Is this a job change that God wants me to make? Because by the way, notice it says, follow me. I know y'all have never done this, but every now and then I've gotten ahead of God. That ain't a place to be, right? Some of y'all smiling like I'm the only one. All right, that's fine. Fair enough, okay? I know. Y'all never got ahead of God before, but let me just tell you, okay? It's not the place to be. It says, follow me. Man, in pursuit of His will, but lock in step with the Father. And so He says, I'm the light of the world. He's the light that leads. Exodus, it's the picture that we see as the children of Israel are led out, right? The Egyptians are following them. They're pursuing them. And they're having to travel by night at time, all this sort of thing. And notice what it says in Exodus 13. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of clouds to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that
so as to go by day and night. He did not take away the pillar of cloud by day or the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And God perfectly leads them and directs them. And dear friend, I'm not telling you it'll always be easy, but I am telling you God will lead you. If you'll let Him, the Lord will lead you. Lead you about relationships and careers and jobs and moving and in everyday life. He'll lead you if you'll pursue Him. So Jesus says, I'm the light of the world. He says that teaches us that Jesus is the light that leads. He says, follow me. Number three, Jesus is the light that separates. He's the light that separates. Notice, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me, notice this, said in the negative, shall not walk in darkness. See, there ought to be something different about my walk with the Lord. There ought to be something different about the way that I live if I claim to be a born-again believer. There ought to be something different about you if you claim to follow Christ. If you're claiming to follow Christ and your social media and your everyday life, your life choices, your approach to things, your conversation, if it looks like your coworkers and sounds like your classmates and there's nothing different about your life, then you better be very careful and examine your salvation. Because to follow Jesus is a life of separation. It's a life of living differently. He says, I'm the light of the world. Follow me, but you shall not walk in darkness. Meaning that your life ought to look different than the rest of the world. Your life ought to look different than before you came to know Jesus. If your life looks exactly the same. Now listen, I understand some of you came to know Christ at 4, 5, 6, 10 years old. I get that there's not a major contrast there, but some of you came to know Christ later in life, maybe even recently, and our life must look different. There's a life of separation. Man, listen, I can't go to the same places that a lot of people my age go. I can't talk about some of the same things that a lot of people... Why? Because Jesus called me to something greater. He's called me to something higher. Be ye holy, even as your heavenly Father is holy. The idea of holiness is an idea of separation, being set apart. Now listen, He's called me to be a witness, and yes, that means I need to engage in a lost and dying world. There's no doubt about that. We can't just run away into seclusion and turn ourselves off from the world and never engage. But the reality is that as we do engage, it ought to look a little different. Man, the tone of our post ought to be different. The attitude in which we respond to a bad day getting service at a restaurant ought to be different.
Are you meddling now, preacher?
It ought to be different. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Notice this, walk as children of light. Walk as children of light. Man, why is it that oftentimes churches have become known for fighting and the way we talk to one another, the way we engage? It ought to be the exact opposite. It ought to be the exact opposite. Churches ought to have representation or I've lost the word. Somebody help me. When you're known for something.
Reputation.
Amen. That's why she gets paid, right? So, a reputation for being kind, for being gracious, being loving. Why? Because we ought to walk as children of light. Now listen, I realize we're still all humans and we still all have opinions and thoughts and ideas. I mean, the old adage is, you get any two Baptists in a room, you've got at least three opinions. Amen. All right. But He's called us to walk as children of light. Man, live in a way that brings honor and glory to God. It's a dying to self and allowing the Spirit of God to live through me. Now listen, this life that He's calling us to is not something that we can do in our own flesh. That's the point. It's a life where I die to self and ask Jesus to work in me and through me, that I live out the desires of God, that His desires become my desires. So he's the light of the world. Jesus is the light that leads. He's the light that separates. And then number four, Jesus is the light of life. He's the light of life. Notice in verse 12, then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What's he saying? First of all, is that it's salvation. He's teaching in our college Sunday school class this morning, Acts chapter 4, and the very well-known verse of Acts chapter 4, 12 says, nor is there salvation given in any other name. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Dear friend, there's not many roads to the top. There's not many paths that lead to heaven. There's one way, and it's through Jesus and Jesus alone. Every person born has the same exact need, and that we need Christ. We need salvation in Jesus. Every one of us, the Bible says, as it is written there, none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:10, Romans 3:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sorry, Romans 6:23. All of us are sinners and we need Christ. He says that He is the light of life. John chapter 1, verse 6 through 11, we see a testimony from this in John's gospel. He says in verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. Notice this, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. Man, Jesus is the light of life. Now later, we're called the light of the world, right? Do you remember, we see over in the Gospel of Matthew, part of the Sermon on the Mount, and he says, you are the light of the world, a city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. But what's happening is that what the picture is this, is that Jesus is the source. And I preached a D-Now recently, and the theme was glow, and it was this idea, is that Jesus is the sun, and you and I are the moon. We don't have the source of life in us, but rather we reflect the sun. And so that's what's happening here, is that you and I, we are witnesses to this light, but we don't have the source of life in ourselves, but rather it's the Son of God through us. But Jesus is the light of life. Later in the Gospel of John, John would write this in John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. And folks, I think sometimes we have forgotten, for whatever reasons, that man, it's sweet to know Christ. It's a blessing to have salvation in His name. Man, it's good to be saved. Not just for fire insurance, because man, there's joy that comes along with it. There's peace. And you've often said it, you've heard it said, man, how do people make it through life without knowing Christ? I don't know. But man, there is life in Jesus. That following Christ is not just about a bunch of list of things that I have to do or things I can't do, but rather it is good to know the Lord, and there is blessing that comes along with following Him. And there's nothing like it in the world. There's nothing this world has to offer that provides that, that gives that, that sustains that. And so today's not about going, oh man, I've got to do all these things or do all this. No, it's rather I get to follow the Lord Jesus. I get to know Him more. I get to pursue Him and live in a way that brings honor and glory to His name. I get the opportunity to invite people to Him. I get the opportunity to tell people how sweet it is to be saved. It's not I have to. It's I get to. So there's something fascinating as we wrap this up. Something fascinating about this, because I told you in the beginning that this is still the festival of booths, or the festival of tabernacle. And if you remember several weeks back, we talked about this festival. This festival was an annual time where all the Jews would come together and they would celebrate this and they would dwell in a tent for a week. And it was a reminder of God delivering, God guiding the Hebrews out of bondage and slavery while they were in the wilderness. Okay, and so it was this celebration. If you remember, I told you there was a reason. Because you remember back, it says earlier in chapter 7 that they wanted Jesus to go up because they wanted him to become king and all this sort of thing. But Jesus said, it's not yet my time, yet he still goes. And we talked about that Jesus is the one who provides and care and leads, but Jesus enters during the Passover because he's the sacrificial lamb, right? And so here it is, it's this Festival of Tabernacles. And a few weeks ago we talked about this, he's still in that last day. And I told you one of the things happens in chapter 7, you say on that last great day, and that's where Jesus declares that I am the living water. He who drinks of me will never thirst again. And we talked about one of the closing ceremonies was that the priest would take this bowl of water and pour it out as a sacrifice to at part of the closing ceremony. But there's one other thing that happens. There in the court of what's referred to as the court of the women, the outer court where anybody and everybody could come, they set up these 16 stands in that court. And the priest would go and it would take a ladder. They were tall stands. And on top of the stand, there was a bowl. And in that bowl was oil. And in that bowl were the priestly garments that had been shredded and discarded, and they were put in there in that oil. And then they had some kind of ladder that they would have to use because they were tall, they were in the outer court. And as a part of some of the final ceremonies of this festival, the priests would go around and they would light those garments. They'd go around to all 16. It was often done right at dusk. Right, because this day and time, you didn't have all the street lights. You didn't have all the ambient light that you and I are accustomed to. And so we know this moment, at least seems that Jesus is here in the outer courts. He's at the court of the women because, right, they brought the adulterous woman to him. But after that moment, after that encounter, now I want you to picture this, is that typically at the end of this ceremony, it's likely they were getting close to this. Maybe people were gathering in the court. Maybe the priest was getting ready to light this light that's used to. And they said because of the yellow walls and all that's going on, is that as they lit those lamps that were tall in the air, that it would give light almost to all the city. It was something they weren't used to, this ambient light that would radiate throughout the city. It would give light to the Jews. And now here Jesus is teaching. And he declares to them, so they're getting ready for the ceremony. They're getting ready for this lighting of these bowls of oil. He declares to them, I am the light of the world. Not just light to Jerusalem. Not just light to the Jews, but rather I'm the light of the world. Because Jesus comes and he perfectly satisfies every demand of the law. He perfectly satisfies every ceremonial activity that was intended to point them to the Messiah because he is the Messiah. Jesus perfectly satisfies every religious demand because every religious demand left people empty. He perfectly satisfies every aspect of this life because Jesus is the light of the world. And dear friend, you and I, it's an honor and a privilege to give our life so that others may come to know him. And it may be that some of you, God's calling you to vocational full-time ministry. Maybe as a missionary. It may be that you've never been on a mission trip. There's some mission opportunities. We need to pray today for Steve. Steve's leaving this week, headed to Mexico to serve. There are mission opportunities that we'll have in the coming months. We're going to have one in 2 weeks from yesterday on the 15th. It says in your bulletin, a college car wash. It's just an outreach. We're going to have a car wash just over here, hopefully by the intermural fields, and just invite people to church. 10 to 2, come be with us. It's a privilege to give our life for the sake of the gospel. Whatever time, talent, and treasure you have, would you begin to pray, God, how is it you want me to use this so that others may come to know Him? And some of you have been doing that for a long, long time, and I'm grateful. I'm grateful. But God's not done with us yet. May He use us ever more in the days ahead. If you'll bow your head and close your eyes with me, my challenge to you this morning is, how is it that God wants you to give all that you have to Him today? If you don't know Jesus, here in a moment we're going to have a time of invitation. And I'm going to invite you to come. Stand in front of me. Say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. I've been holding on. I've been waiting, or whatever the case may be. Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. It's the single greatest decision you'll ever make. I'm not going to lead you in a sinner's prayer. We're not. May you just say, Pastor Chris, I need to be saved today. In a moment when I pray, you come. Some of you this morning, many of you, probably most of you, have had that moment in your life where you surrendered your life to Jesus. So my challenge to you is this. Would we take the next few moments and recommit everything of who we are, what we have, what opportunities we have, everything that we've got, to recommit it for the glory of God? Some of you, maybe God's been dealing with your heart about surrendering to ministry, to a call on your life. Surrender to that today. You come here in a few moments when we pray. You come. Say, Pastor Chris, I'm wrestling. I believe God's calling me to ministry. I don't know what that looks like, but maybe God's doing that in your heart and your life. Maybe God's just burning your heart anew and afresh over prayer, saying, I can't get up and go across the world. But maybe God's burning your heart to be more committed to pray for missionaries and pastors and churches and praying for our church. And let's recommit all that we have for the sake of the gospel this morning. When I begin to pray, you begin to respond to Him. God in heaven, I pray in this moment, Lord, if there's anybody here who doesn't know you, God, I pray you give them boldness to come. God, I pray for anybody who's wrestling with a call to ministry. God, I pray you give them boldness to come. I pray for anybody that's dealing with, maybe they need to be baptized. God, I pray they would come. God, I pray ultimately this morning as a church family, we would be renewed in our commitment to the gospel this morning. That we would leave this place more committed, more fervent. But God, I pray that we would respond to you in these next few moments. I pray in Jesus' name. Your main attitude of prayer, if God spoke to your heart this morning, you just want to come and pray, you come. If you need to talk with me, you can come and talk. And if you need somebody to pray with you, I'd love to pray with you. However God moved in your heart, you respond to Him.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Turn your eyes to the hillside, where justice and mercy embrace. There the Son of God gave His life for us, and and a measureless debt was erased. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore turn our eyes to you.
Would you stand and sing this verse with us?
Turn your eyes to the morning and see Christ the Lion awake. What a glorious dawn! Fear of death is gone, for we carry his life in our veins. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you. Jesus, to you we lift our eyes. Jesus, our glory and our prize. We adore Savior ever true. Oh Jesus, we turn our eyes to you.
Well, amen. Well, thank you so much for being here. Sure, thank God for you. Our men are going to begin to take their place, so they help take up the offering today. Hey, let me just say thank you, thank you, thank you so much for your faithfulness to give and at least through, I know it's only a couple months in, but through this point in the year, man, we're in a better place financially than we've been in some time. And sure, thank God for that. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I would just encourage you, continue to be faithful. Let me just remind you, there's also an opportunity. If you prefer giving online and you want to set that up where it's automated as often as you get paid or however you want to do that, there's that option out there available on our website. If you need some help with that, you can reach out to our office and we'll do our best to make sure you get the assistance you need. But that is available to you if that's the way you'd prefer. And so, again, thank you so much for your faithfulness to give. Thank you for being here and appreciate you. It's a blessing to be your pastor. Sure love you in Jesus' name and thank God for you. So let me pray for us and then we will be dismissed, okay? God in heaven, thank you for your love and mercy. Thank you for how you care for us. I pray, God, that we would give in a way that brings honor and glory to the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that you'd lead, God, direct us. God, help us to give all that we have and all that we are for the sake of the gospel this week. Give us boldness as we leave. Help us to be a witness for you. Bless the tithes and offerings and use it for your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.